A white man? No!
Sarah.
And I'm Emily.
And we are back with another Criminal Minds recap. We're not looking forward to it. But we're going to do it.
This is the darkest episode of this entire show.
It really is. I wanted to look up and then I got distracted what other episodes this team of writers, or like the main writer of this episode, has written, because it is so dark and so earnest. And like, when you first hear about Criminal Minds, I feel like this is what you picture it being, and it is not this.
Yeah, because I wouldn't watch it if it was this all the time. Right, it's just bleak and depressing and sad. And
yeah.
I like it because it's silly.
Right, right. I couldn't watch it as like stress release if it was this all the time. It is just like so out of left field. We are discussing Into the Woods, which originally aired November 17th, 2010. And as I say, how dare they do this to Stephen Sondheim? Because that's a great musical, and this is just, it makes my stomach hurt. Like the moment it starts, the moment it begins, my stomach starts to hurt because I know it's going to be bad. Plus it's Pennsylvania, which I understand is a big state, and this is nowhere near us.
But still.
It's still, even it just being.
It's familiar looking.
Yeah.
Like it's familiar terrain.
Yes.
It looks like.
Yeah.
Parts of our, like our part of our neck of the woods. I was going to say our part of the state. And then I was like, wait, no.
Don't miss an opportunity just, like that.
Yeah. But yeah, this one starts out and there's a family. They're backpacking in Harwood State Park, which is not real. I looked it up. They are lost looking for the campsite. They're looking at the map and the
it's dark.
Yeah, it's very dark. Like, why? No, find a place to like set up camp. You're not like, you're not gonna find where you're going wandering around in the dark like this.
Yep.
But yeah, something like as they're arguing, something moves past them. And you're not sure what it is. But it's like a mom, a dad, and a boy who looks like.
Like a early preteen.
Yeah, probably like 12, 13 years old. And he like jumps out and scares them and they yell at him.
Yeah.
And, then they discover that it is a bear that has uncovered a skeleton.
Like, I don't know which is worse for me, the bear or the skeleton.
Yeah, seriously.
I'm very afraid of bears.
But then I just spent a really long time thinking about this scenario. And like, you're already lost in the woods.
It's dark.
Yeah, it's dark.
It's very dark.
There's a dead body.
And a
bear.
For the taste of, with a taste of human flesh.
Yeah.
Nearby.
And even though it's a black bear, it's not going to hurt you unless you mess with it. But still, well, like, if you're not on the trail, like, you're lost, like, how are you getting back?
How are you going to find
this place
again?
How are you going to find this place again to let them? I mean, they probably have one of those, like, GPS. Emergency. But I'm like, do they have those back then?
I don't know.
I'm like trying to think of like,
look,
backpacking in that time period. I'm like, I don't know. We were so irresponsible. We were just like, let's just go out into the woods.
We'll make it back out at some point.
I mean, I wouldn't go backpacking now with my kids without one of those. But
my level of camping growing up was like pop-up camper at a campground where you pulled your camper onto the cement pad.
Yeah.
This is not for me. So I don't know.
Yeah. Like, I just feel like I would be so nervous that I wouldn't be able to bring the authorities back to the right spot to find this body.
Be haunted by it forever.
Yeah. But the body we learn belongs to a 10-year-old Daniel Lanham, who went missing on a camping trip with his father about a year ago. Reed notes that the body was found close to the Appalachian Trail and gives us a lot of fun facts about the Appalachian Trail.
Yep,
it's
sure
like
does.
It's 2,000 miles long and it goes through 14 states. Then we also learned that the victim's body was wrapped in plastic, and the team thinks it's really unlikely that this was the Unsub's only victim.
Right.
So meanwhile, we just jump right over to Finney State Park.
Yes.
Where another family is setting up camp.
Is Finney State Park real? I can look it up. I didn't look it up before.
Didn't?
I have to pretend that they're all fake.
Maybe. I don't know. Anyway. so there's like the other family, it's a mom and a dad and a little boy and a girl, and the boy's like 2 years older than the girl. Yeah. Like, this is why I can't watch this.
Yep.
It's like, that's the age difference of my kids. Mm-hmm. Like, we go camping a lot.
Yeah.
And it's like, I can't handle this. Yep. I just can't.
Nope. So as I saw them, I was like, oh, the kids, I can't do this.
They're like running around looking for, firewood and stuff, and there's a man watching them.
Yeah,
from
just
the
getting
woods.
Glimpses. Like, nope.
Yeah, it does not look like Finney State Park is a real place.
Okay, thank God.
thank goodness. Yeah. So then we get our first quote. Ralph Ellison said, "I am invisible. Understand simply because people refuse to see me." Mm. So the PA police, we learn, suspected Daniel's father of his murder, but without a body, they couldn't charge him. Mm-hmm. I have no idea why they suspect this man.
I don't either. He is broken.
Yeah.
It's a shell of a human being. Like, He's so good. They don't ever say why. Right.
They
just
suspect
that he was
him?
With him when he went missing, I guess.
Yeah. Which doesn't make any sense. And they're talking about how he goes every month back to that same spot to just look for him in the woods. And you're like, okay, like,
why would he be doing that?
I don't know. But
do you know what I found distracting about this entire back and forth with the local police? Everyone is dressed so casually.
Oh, yeah. No, I totally mentioned that. Mm-hmm. Because Rita's wearing a suit.
Yeah.
But Rossi and Hotch are in like
three-quarter
zips. Total camp out dad mode.
Yes.
Like, Hotch just has the little zipper pocket.
Yes, on the arm. Yeah.
I'm like, what'd you guys stop at Eddie Bauer on the way here?
Like so many three-quarter zips, I don't know where to look.
Yeah. 100%, like, if I told my dad
to
go, like, dress like he was going to go for a hike in the woods.
This khaki baseball cap.
That is what he would come out with.
It's just so strange because Hosh is always dressed so professionally.
Prentice is, like, wearing, a fleece.
Yeah.
But with, like, a really fancy turtleneck underneath.
Yeah.
And, like,
they're, like, cosplaying as campers.
Yeah. It's like none of you people have ever been in the outdoors before.
We've seen them when they've considered themselves to be in the deep woods. So it's all very strange.
Yeah, it's really funny. They arrive by plane.
Mm-hmm.
It is a 2.5 hour drive.
Mm-hmm.
I looked it up.
Yeah.
I spent a lot of time looking it up. And when I looked up like how far it would be to go from Washington, D.C. to Harrisburg on a plane, the first suggestion I got was, consider taking a train. But I spent a really long time focusing on this so that I wouldn't have to go back to watching this episode any further.
Yeah, this was 100% an episode where I kept having to stop myself from looking at my phone. But this time it was because I didn't want to be watching what was happening.
Yeah.
Like, it was making me too uncomfortable.
Yeah, I was like, what can I distract myself with so that I don't have to watch the horror that's about to unfold here?
Yep.
Yeah, so... also, it is weird to me that they took the plane for this very short drive, considering that there is no pressing timeline as of now.
Right.
This is a body that's been there for a year.
No one else is missing yet. Yeah.
No one else is missing.
And there can't be any airport to land in near this place.
The closest one is Harrisburg, and it's like 25 minutes away from... the park.
Yeah.
Because, like, the ranger station that they go to, it's, like, Big Boyd or something. Mm-hmm. That is a real place.
Okay.
So I looked that one up.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it's, like, 20 minutes outside of Harrisburg or something. And it's, like, driving. Just drive the car.
Yeah, just drive the car there.
There's no way this is more efficient. But anyway, Reed starts going over maps, and Hotch goes in to talk to Daniel's father. Like you said, he's just a broken shell of a man.
Mm-hmm.
He... was going out every month to look for his son, and then in March just stopped. Mm-hmm. And Hotch asks him why, because that is coincidentally around the time that Daniel would have died. Mm-hmm. And the dad was just like, I just knew. Like, I somehow just knew I wasn't going to find him. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. The dad is so good. He's like, I failed him. How do I live with that?
Yeah. And he says, talks about how prior to his death, they went camping often. Like, it wasn't mm-hmm. out of the ordinary at all. Like, yeah. they would go every single weekend because he said he only gets them on the weekends, so he mm-hmm. wanted to make them as special as possible. And you're like,
God, this guy.
Yeah. So, Reed and Rossi ask Garcia to look for other boys around Daniel's age who have gone missing from the Appalachian Trail. Mm-hmm. Morgan and Prentice scope out the site where they found the body, and they make... like a lot of wild assumptions mm-hmm. here, mm-hmm. including that the dump site is a grave,
yeah.
that it's marked secretly, and that the unsub must feel at home in the woods.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Like, okay.
Yeah.
We just have to go along with it.
But of course, that's right. Mm-hmm. Morgan notes that animals mark their territory as high on a tree as they can. And then they look up and they notice that several of the trees around have branches that have been cut off. Mm-hmm. So they're yeah, like, this like is how he's marking them. There are more bodies. Mm-hmm. So Daniel's father says that Daniel got up to go to the bathroom and then never returned to the tent. He also says he doesn't care what anyone else thinks about him because nothing can ever be worse than living knowing that Daniel died scared and that he wasn't there to protect and help him.
Like, I know. Yo. It's like my kid's never leaving my sight ever again. Yeah. Tethered
you're
like, to you one know,
you're right.
The
there
waist.
Is nothing worse than that. Mm-hmm. Morgan and Prentice arrive back at the ranger station. They announce that they've found another body and that it's a kid Daniel's age named Tyler Stoltz who went missing a year before Daniel. I don't know how they found this information so quickly.
I don't either. They literally just dug the body up.
Right. And like, how are you getting that information?
Yeah. Their database.
Like he wouldn't have ID on him.
Right.
You can't fingerprint a kid because their fingerprints aren't in a system anywhere.
Right.
It would have had to have been like, dental records.
Yeah, because he's been dead for like 2 years.
And you can't check that quickly.
Yeah, I don't
it's
know.
It's like, where, how, what?
He was wearing a name tag. His name was written inside all his clothes.
Yeah, I was going to say, he had responsible parents who wrote yes. his names in his clothing. So you don't have to hold up 85 things in the lost and found every week. Mm-hmm. Anyway. I'm not bitter about the lost and found situation at our school.
That isn't something we have
school.
To do all the time. But yeah, I think it's Reed says he's hibernating with them.
Morgan, yeah. Because he's abducting boys in the fall and keeping mm-hmm. them in spring when he murders and buries them.
Yeah.
And Morgan says, it's almost like he's hibernating with them.
And I was like, no. And
you're like, if he was hibernating Gross. With them, it wouldn't be that big of a deal because they would just eat a bunch of food and then go to sleep. Mm-hmm. I would prefer that he was hibernating with them.
But I don't think that's what's happening
him.
Here.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, now we have to go back to the nice family with the cute kids. There's Anna, the little girl, and Robert. Mm-hmm. Anna wakes her brother up. She says she has to go to the bathroom.
They're in a separate tent from mom and dad.
Yeah. And she doesn't want to go by herself and asks him to come with her. And he's such a good brother. Mm-hmm. And he's like, okay, yeah, let's go. And he walks her out. And then he, like... turns her, or like they hear a cough or something, mm-hmm. but think it's just coming from the parents' house. So, and he like, you know, lets her go a little bit farther into the woods so mm-hmm. she can have some privacy. But then he doesn't hear her at yeah. all. So he goes back into the woods to check on her. And she's just standing there like in the brush. And mm-hmm. she just says, he says he'll kill mom and dad. And then this guy just steps out of the brush behind her.
Yeah. It's the
so
worst.
Scary.
It's the absolute worst.
So Reed has found 12 potential victims, according
Again,
to this
it's,
pattern.
It's been mere hours, and they've somehow uncovered a dozen victims over 14 states over, what, a decade?
Yes, in the last 10 years.
But they were able to figure all that out
yes.
in that amount of time.
Yeah.
Incredible. They're so good at their jobs.
Yes. His last few victims, however, have been isolated to the same general area that they're in now. So they assume that he must have a hideout somewhere on the trail and that something must be affecting his ability to travel long distances, unlike mm-hmm. in the past when he would just walk the trail back and forth. Mm-hmm. Which sounds terrible.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, just walking the Appalachian Trail one time sounds pretty bad to me.
I know.
I read Wild. No thanks.
Yeah, it's like I've hiked part of it. And that was enough. I don't need to do it all in one go. Like it's so long. It takes right. you like 6 months. Yeah. I don't want to do that. No. Kids, we cut to them. They're locked in like a cell inside a cave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everything about it is terrifying. The yeah. setup, everything.
The man appears and the boy says that their parents will be looking for them. And if he lets them go, they won't say anything. And he just like ignores their pleas and he mm-hmm. walks away and we see that he has a limp.
Yeah.
It's like hobbling away. So the team arrives at the park where Robert and Anna have disappeared. They assume that because Anna isn't his preferred victim type, he'll probably kill her sooner mm-hmm. because she was just taken as like collateral.
Yeah. Cause he didn't want to leave a witness.
Yeah. So, back in the cave, Anna is clearly, like, really, really scared. Mm-hmm. But Robert is so sweet.
Yeah, he's such a good brother. Yeah. He must be absolutely spiraling. I mean, he's 10 years old. I would be absolutely spiraling having a hard time comforting someone else.
Yeah. And I am 4 times his age. Yes. The kid would uh-huh, be like, uh-huh. we're going to die here. And be like, yeah, probably.
Yeah, seems like we probably are.
This isn't looking good. He finds a toy that's in the cell and he tries to comfort her with it. But then she just looks at him and asks the worst yeah. questions. She yeah. just goes, whose toys are these?
Yeah.
And they're like, these kids are so good.
Like, yeah, they're both so good.
Yeah.
So good. I looked them both up and he is one of the ones that's just like been in everything as oh, he's yeah. gotten older. And she was on the Gossip Girl reboot.
Yeah.
And amongst other things.
But I didn't watch any of the Gossip Girls.
No, me either. But. Yeah.
Yeah. So Robert and Anna's parents are just distraught, obviously.
Yeah.
They're like really apologetic. They're like, well, they're too big to sleep in the tent with us. Yeah. You know? And you're like, well, yeah. Like, it's especially if they're like, I assume that they're, because they don't seem to have a car.
Yeah.
Right there. Like, they seem to be off the beaten path. So it's yeah. like, yeah, you're backpacking. You can't have a big, giant backpacking tent. Those are really heavy. You would yeah. have to have 2 smaller, lightweight tents. Mm-hmm.
And they seem like they do this all the time.
Yeah. Like, it's just awful. Like, the mom's yeah. like, we could hear them giggling for their tent. I fell asleep to the sound of them laughing. Like, oh my God. Daniel's father arrives to help the search party, but Hotch sends him away, which makes no sense.
No. Because, first of all, since when has the BAU ever balked at having a victim's family nearby in an investigation?
No, usually
and every episode
like,
at every turn.
Is there a way we could traumatize you further right, to help like, find this child?
In what way can we keep you nearby just in case?
And also, it's like, they're like, no, man who knows mm-hmm. every inch of these woods, mm-hmm. please leave
yep.
because we've got Prentice in her turtleneck here to take care of things. They're like, have you not
seen put on his 3/4 zip?
Have you not seen our zips?
The extra pockets on
my
clothing? You
know Hotch is like wearing those pants that zip off into shorts.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But you know what? He's probably getting blisters from his brand new boots that he didn't break in before he went 100%. Into the woods.
100%. Mm-hmm. And he did not bring any moleskin.
No.
He's going to be in really bad shape.
Yep.
But yeah, Reed tells Hotch that they couldn't be more than 24 miles away mm-hmm. based on how fast they could be moving mm-hmm. In the time that they've been missing, but also confirms that Anna is probably in a lot of danger of being killed a lot faster than Robert. Mm-hmm. So the unsub comes to the cell door and offers the kids water. He takes a drink of it to show that it's safe, and both of the kids take some.
And the look that he is giving Robert the entire time this interaction is happening is yeah. just
because it's like
sickening.
One of those things where you're like, well, he's giving them water. Is it going to be okay? And then he's just like, come with me.
Yeah.
And like takes Robert away. And Anna doesn't want him to leave, but he says he'll bring you back a flashlight.
Yeah, because they've just been in the dark.
Yeah.
And Robert is old enough to have a pretty good idea about what's going to happen to him.
And even if he doesn't know exactly, he knows that it's not going to be good.
Right.
This man is not taking him to go get a flashlight for
right.
his sister.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Ugh.
But then we kind of get a profile. Did you write anything down? It's a very brief description. I thought it was going to be a profile and it ended up being like three things.
It's not much of a profile. It's more instructions on how to look for a lost child in the woods. But yeah. I did write it down. So this unsub hunts for, abducts, and keeps his victims in the woods. We believe he left civilization and forged a home for himself right here in the wilderness, which means he's lost any societal or moral restraints. He's devoted his life to taking children, and he's found the perfect place to hide them. He's found or made shelter, which is difficult to find. It's sturdy enough to let him escape rough winters, rough winter weather, and secure enough to stop his victims from escaping, so it must be sizable underground or on a mountainside. Sometimes the voices of trapped children get drowned out by search parties calling for them, which is why we're asking you to call out Robert and Anna's names, but leave pauses in between to listen for their responses. Short and sweet, and they're off.
Yeah, basically just, we know this man is hiding.
Go look
That's
for him.
That's it.
We know this man abducts children from the woods and hides with them in the woods. Let's go look in the woods together.
I guess we'll check the woods.
Mm-hmm.
So Daniel's father returns to the station and decides to talk to Reed and help him in any way that he can.
Mm-hmm.
And Reed tells him that he's sure that Daniel knew that he was looking for him. Mm. So the unsub then returns a very shell-shocked Robert to the cell.
He's like whimpering and tears are rolling down his face. Yeah. And
he like pushes him in, locks him back in with Anna. She asks him what happens, and Robert just says, "Promise me the next time he comes to get him, you'll run." Oh my God, this poor kid.
Yeah, it is so hard to watch. It's unbearable.
Yeah. So Reed works with Daniel's father to narrow the search area, and they narrow it down really far.
Yep.
Like, I mean, they're down to, like, it's got to be in the square mile.
I don't know why.
Somewhere.
But...
The unsub lets Daniel go to the bathroom. He then attacks the unsub. He like kicks his bad knee out from underneath him.
Yeah.
So he falls and tells Anna to run away. Anna manages to make it all the way out of the cave, but the unsub grabs Robert by the leg and drags him back into the cave that they're hiding in. It looks like a mine shaft.
Yeah.
But yeah, Anna runs away through the woods and is happened upon by Prentice.
Yes.
And some dogs.
And some big bloodhounds.
Yeah. Morgan asks her where her brother is, and she's like, "I don't know." And he's like, "All right, well, you just go with the ranger then." I'm like, you're not going to ask any additional questions. Like, not even how long have you been running would be a great question to ask.
Right, because they've got
to
be nearby.
Yeah.
Right? If she hasn't been running for very long.
Yeah. I mean, if is it like... I don't know. It's been hours.
Yeah.
Like, or is like, it?
I just been running for a couple
it's
of minutes.
4 minutes.
Yeah.
It seems like pertinent information, but they do not ask.
Mm.
The search party, meanwhile, passes right by Robert in the unsub.
It was like every time you think things can't get worse for Robert, can you imagine like the emotional devastation
of just watching
your rescuers walk away from
calling
you?
Calling your name as they're walking away.
I mean, bravest little boy ever.
Yeah. Also, I did not really understand why everyone in the search party was walking on the trail in a line.
Yep.
Not across, but just single file.
I know. Don't you usually comb out, like spread out to comb the woods?
This is not an efficient search party situation, but sure. Back at the station, Anna tells Hotch that the man who took them was smelly, dirty, and walked funny. The dogs lead them to a cave that the ranger says that he's never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
Morgan and Prentice head in, but Robert and the man are gone. They find pain pills, ammunition, and some random flower. Reed is luckily just really knows his
he's a good at botany.
Flora
yeah.
of Pennsylvania. And he says that it's devil's claw, which is a homeopathic pain treatment. Reed said it wouldn't be enough, though, if he had, like, arthritis or something, and he would probably also need to get painkillers. So things are about to get worse.
Yeah.
The man brings Robert into town, which I
want to be like, Robert, you're smart. You're
Harrisburg?
In public. I guess it's supposed to be Harrisburg.
I've never been to Harrisburg. I don't know.
I mean, it doesn't look like any place I've seen in Pennsylvania.
It looks like it's terrible.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, Robert is smart. He knows this guy has a limp. He's already kicked him once. I know the guy has a weapon and he's really scary, but they're in public.
Exactly.
Kick him again and run and scream.
Yeah, like you're not in the woods where
there are people around.
You don't
now.
Have anywhere to go.
And he hasn't been with him long enough to be like brainwashed by this guy.
Yeah.
You know your sister just outran him.
Yeah.
You can do this, Robert.
Run to literally the first person that you can find and just scream that this man has kidnapped you.
Call the police.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I forgot about this whole part that's coming up too.
Oh, you forgot about this part? I hate this part so much.
Because there was so much else to already hate about this episode with everything that happened in the cave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they're in town. They go to this like really gross motel kind of place. They go to a room and a really uncomfortably sweaty man lets them into the room. And the unsub, whose name we learn is Shane, offers to trade Robert to this guy whose name is Brandon for some more painkillers.
Mm-hmm. For just an hour. Give you an hour with this kid.
Couldn't have been worse.
Like, again, every time I think something worse can't happen to Robert, something worse happens to Robert.
Yeah. So Garcia searches for men who've committed crimes against children in the 90s and comes up with just this perv hotel, basically, because it's like with like sexual offender laws, there's only like a certain radius that they can live in where they're not near parks or schools or whatever. So everybody just kind of ends up living in this place.
Terrifying.
So there were just a whole bunch of offenders all had the same address. Shane steals all of Brandon's pills that he has, which has a lot of them.
Yeah,
it's a lot. And tells him that he can have the hour with Robert. She narrows it down. Garcia narrows it down to Shane, so they know his name.
Yeah.
They have literally no idea how to find this man.
Right.
So they're like, Brandon's like trying to like
get Robert loosened up.
Yeah.
Is it like a glass of wine he tries to give him?
I think he just gives him like soda, but then he like puts his hand on his knee.
Yeah.
And Robert like recoils and falls backwards and hits his head, which knocks him unconscious. And Brandon is worried that Shane's going to kill him. Prentice and Morgan arrive at the hotel and the clerk is like, oh yeah, just go to Brandon's room because he's the absolute fucking worst and everyone here sucks.
He's quite the character, this front desk guy.
He's I kind of like him. I mean,
yeah. Well, like the minute they pull up, he's like, whoever did it, just go and arrest them, please.
Yeah, he's like, please just get him out of here. So they break into Brandon's room, but he and Robert are not there.
They're like so frustratingly close every time.
Yeah. So Brandon tries to sneak Robert out of the hotel, but it's surrounded by cops. Shane returns, sees the cops, and then just like turns around and hobbles back on down the road. Brandon takes Robert down to the basement and he's about to smother him with a pillow. You're like, what? This is so dumb.
Yeah.
This kid doesn't know who you are. He doesn't know where he is.
Yeah.
Just, he doesn't know what room he was in.
Right.
Just leave him there.
Yeah, exactly. I know.
And then just be like, I've never seen this kid before in my life.
Right.
Why are you going to kill him?
Not like, the sharpest tool
literally
in the
shed. Dumbest thing to do in this situation.
Look at where we are and who we're dealing
that's
with.
True. But anyway, he hears a noise coming from somewhere in the basement. Robert wakes up, attacks him, and then runs away. And Brandon is about to catch him because he finds where he's hiding when Prentice and Morgan appear.
Thank God.
Yes.
Finally.
Like, finally. Reed tells Daniel's father that Shane got away, but Robert is safe. He gives him, like, what is it, like a shirt or something?
I don't know.
It was something that they found that was Daniel's.
Like a hoodie, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know how you would know that was Daniel's. Whatever. I guess they would have, like, what he was wearing when he...
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, the team watches Robert being reunited with his parents, hopefully just headed straight to therapy.
Right.
From this meeting.
The whole family.
Yeah. The team all pats themselves on the back for a job well done, except for Reed's. It's like, hey, we didn't catch him. He's just still out there. And Hotch is like, don't worry. We're going to get him. It'll never come up again.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. They're never going to mention this man again.
No. He's just going to stop.
He was almost caught. So now it's too much trouble.
Yeah. So.
Never mentioned again.
10 years of murdering kids.
Mm-hmm.
And assaulting kids, and he's just gonna stop just like that.
He's done.
Like, that doesn't even make any sense.
Nope.
Yeah. But anyway, we see Shane hitch a ride.
He's had a shower and a shave.
Yeah.
Pulled himself together.
Yep. Gets a ride, heads back out on the trail.
Mm-hmm.
And we get our last quote. Elise Cabot said, "Evil endures a moment's flush, then leaves but a burnt out shell."
Hmm. Have you seen the documentary on HBO, They Called Him Mostly Harmless?
I haven't watched it yet.
It is very good and reminded me a lot of this. Just that there's no assaulting of children. Spoiler alert. So you don't have to worry about that. But it was really fascinating about this guy that died on the trail.
Yeah.
And they were trying to figure out who he really was and how he died and everything. And it's there are some parallels there. But
yeah.
Yeah. That was very good. Anyway, this was a good episode. It's an episode that you hate to like. Because it's well executed, it's well written, but it's so hard to watch. It's so uncomfortable. It's not enjoyable for even a second.
But it is one of the better, like cinematically, better episodes of this show.
Yeah, for sure.
Like the writing was good, the acting was phenomenal, like the story was good.
Yeah.
And then, but it's like, I can't watch that all the time. I like silliness.
I really am glad I will never have to talk about or think about or watch this episode ever.
I know.
Again
it's behind us.
Life.
We don't have to talk about it. It's over. And they're never going to come back to it
again. They're never going to bring up Shane.
So we don't have to revisit it. That's going to be like the first thing that happens in the next.
They hear this episode of this podcast and they're like, well, we've got to go back and address
that. The first episode
of 16.
Season 16 is just going to be Shane killing Zach Gilford.
I'm the big bad now.
Well, he's gold star.
Do you want to rate this profile?
There was no profile.
No,
it was going to be a profile, but he really was just briefing them on what to look for in the woods.
Not really anything to grade Hotch on besides his sense of style.
Yeah.
Hope we remember these outfits for the season wrap up.
10 out of 10.
Everyone's camping looks.
Camping sweater.
Everyone's camping look gets a 10 out of 10.
I really enjoy thinking about them. Like they all get on the plane and then they get off the plane and go straight to an REI. And then drive out to the Rangers.
You're like, wait, we have to stop at this Eddie Bauer. And then I can go.
Is there an L.L. Bean anywhere? We can't go in these shoes.
Reed's only dressed in a suit because he knows he's staying behind. Everybody else.
They don't take me to the woods.
Everyone else is dressed for the woods.
I do map work.
Well, we've got another white man. 10 to 2. I only considered this one unsub.
Yeah.
Brandon is ancillary.
He's not really.
He wasn't
the
focus.
Guy.
Yeah. So 10 to 2, 83% white men in season 6. Overall, we're at 117 to 25, 82.4% white men. Up next is What Happens at Home, ...
I don't remember this one.
I don't either. I kind of do, but I feel like there's a couple others with like the gated community thing that I might be conflating in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't be sure if it's the same or not. Only time will tell.
Yeah.
So we'll just have to watch it and find out. Well, wherever you're listening, be sure to leave a 5-star review. You can find us on Instagram at @TheUnsubIsAWhiteMan. You can find us on TikTok under the same name. Our merch is on Redbubble. If you buy any, make sure you tag us. We'll share you to our stories. Our theme music is composed and performed by Nate Youngblood, and the podcast is produced by Nate Youngblood. Thanks, Nate.
Yeah.